This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The Horseshoe Casino opened in Baltimore on August 26th. The casino says about 50,000 people were drawn to it on opening weekend. There were no casinos in Maryland until 2010. There are now five, with one more set to open south of Washington at National Harbor in Prince George's County in the summer of 2016. The eruption of casinos is great for people who want to while away an hour or two with a daydream of winning big, but for the estimated 150,000 Marylanders who are addicted to gambling, they create a terrible temptation. The Center on Problem Gambling, part of the University of Maryland School of Medicine, was created to help those people. With me now is its program director, Lori Rugel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
And also with me is Michael Rosen, a clinical social worker who works at the center. Before he worked there, he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to a gambling addiction. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Michael, how long was gambling part of your life?
For 28 years, it was a major part of my life from age 10 until age 38.
How did you get caught up in it at age 10?
My father was an alcoholic, workaholic, and compulsive gambler. And when I was 8 years old, he gave me a toy roulette wheel, a felt replica of a dice table, and a felt replica of a blackjack table. And he thought that was a way we could bond. And that was the beginning.
And that
of my fascination. And that turned into a 28-year addiction that got worse and worse as the years went on. In the beginning, it was fun. When I was 10 years old, I actually ran a casino in summer camp. Instead of using money, we used baseball cards. And people used to tease me that if I stayed on the house side, I'd be a multi-billionaire today. But by the time I was 13, I was in a regular poker game. I was fascinated with sports betting, the crap table, casinos. First time I walked into a casino, I was 14 years old. I was 6 feet tall. No one asked me for any ID. And even in my youth, only one time was I ever asked to leave a casino, and that was in Monte Carlo when I was 20, when they carded me and had to be 21.
When did you know you had a problem?
I would say that I knew in college. I would say that I was gambling 4 to 5 days a week, every week in college. Poker, track, sports betting. To say the least, I graduated college by the skin of my teeth.
So you kept gambling even after you knew you had a problem?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It got worse and worse. And as my career advanced, the more money I made, I was a functional pathological gambler. The more money I made, the more I gambled. And when I got into the stock market, that's when it really became serious. So, you know, it was telephones to the brokers and the bookies, options and commodities, day trading every day.
And at some point, you stopped.
Yes.
Or you thought, you said, I got to stop this.
In 1981. In 1981, my marriage was on the rocks. My job was in danger. And at one point, I lost $40,000 in 10 seconds. And I said, Michael, you have lost complete control. And I called the GA, Gamblers Anonymous hotline. And a gentleman stayed on the phone with me for an hour and a half, telling me that it would have been nice if I had called when I was 28, but it was good that I called at 38 instead of 48.
And I understand you had actual physical withdrawals.
Oh, absolutely, especially the first 6 months. There were times where I'd sit at my desk and I literally had to grab my right hand with my left hand to stop me from calling a broker or calling a bookie. I had the shakes, anxiety, nervousness. I wanted to gamble. That was my main drug of choice. And I definitely had physical withdrawal.
Lori Rugel, who is at highest risk?
Well, men are still at higher risk than women, but women are catching up. Young men, and the highest risk groups are those groups that are most socially and economically disenfranchised in any given community.
And is that what we see playing out in Maryland?
That's what we see playing out in Maryland. We've already begun to do some research that shows that African Americans are at higher risk than Caucasians, and that those with lower income are at higher risk. In Baltimore City, we just completed a pre-casino survey so that we'll be able to go back after the casinos opened and look and see if the prevalence rates have changed and what groups are most affected.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Lori Rugel, Program Director of the Maryland Center of Excellence on Problem Gambling. We're also joined by Michael Rosen, who has struggled with gambling addiction in the past and now works at the center. Before we go on, tell us briefly what the center does.
The Center of Excellence is really responsible for developing a network of treatment providers who can deal with the issue of problem gambling. Prevention, so working with youth and other at-risk groups to prevent people from developing a problem, and informing the public of the warning signs, how to gamble without it becoming a problem, as well as what to do if a problem develops.
And you are involved in running a helpline?
Yes, a 24/7 gambling specific helpline. Anybody can call and be directed to the resources in their community for help with this issue.
And that number is 1-800-522-4700. I'll say it again at the end of this interview. Do I understand that the funding for your work comes from the state tax on the casinos?
Yes, that's right, through the Behavioral Health Administration. So we fund some research as well as the services that we offer.
But it's not general tax
money. Not general tax dollars. It's money, from the casino revenues.
And Lori, are there certain kinds of games of chance that pose more risk of addiction than others?
What we find is that games that are rapid action, you get immediate reinforcement, like the slot machines, like the lottery scratch-offs, where you can just keep playing and playing. You don't need somebody else to be there. You can do it by yourself. You don't necessarily need to learn a skill, are the most addictive forms of gambling.
Michael, you mentioned a whole bunch of different kinds of gambling. What was your main addiction?
I was never interested in slot machines. Basically, you have the escape gambler and the action gambler. Without question, I was an action gambler. There was the narcissism, the feeling that I was better than someone else, that I could beat the system. So the crap table, the stock market, poker, blackjack appealed to me. Pressing buttons in a slot machine, I had absolutely no interest in that whatsoever. I've never bought a lottery ticket or bought a scratch-off. That, to me, would be a waste of money.
And you said it was Gamblers Anonymous.
Yes.
That was your way out. What in particular about Gamblers Anonymous?
I think it was the fellowship and the support. When I gambled, I did everything I possibly could to increase my odds of winning. Most of the time it did not work, but I kept trying. When I decided that I needed to go into recovery, I did everything that I possibly could to increase my odds of staying sober, of avoiding relapse. So not only did I go to GA, I also went to individual therapy and group therapy. And, fortunately, I had some therapists that knew something about gambling and that helped me.
How might somebody figure out if they or somebody they love is an addicted gambler?
I think one of the primary signs is they don't stick to limits in terms of time and money. They always spend more and stay longer than they intend to, and it starts having really negative consequences on a person's lives. They don't go to family events. They become preoccupied. They may lie to cover up their losses or how much time they're spending with the gambling, and they may get agitated when they can't get to a game, so you start seeing those signs build up. But mostly, if you can't stick to your limits, and that's what we encourage people to do, to gamble safely, set a limit, time and money, and stick to it. If you can't, that's a problem.
Lori, I understand people can actually ban themselves from casinos.
Yes, they can exclude themselves. They can sign up so that if they go to the casino, they are arrested for criminal trespassing, and they don't get to keep any of their winnings. They still have to pay any of their losses, and they will be taken to court. So it's a significant deterrent for somebody who wants to put obstacles between them and their gambling problems.
Can people unban themselves?
They can, after 2 years, apply to be removed from the self-exclusion list.
So you can't do it on the spur of the moment?
You can't do it impulsively, no.
Laurie, the estimate of 150,000 problem gamblers in Maryland, is that likely to grow with more casinos in the state?
Well, the research shows that you have a spike within a few years after casino opens, and then it may even out. But also the research shows that within 10 miles of a casino, you have double the rates of problem gambling. So I think, you know, within the vicinity of casinos, you still are at higher risk across time.
Within 10 miles, and that covers a lot of Maryland these days.
Yes, it does.
I really appreciate you both talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Laurie Rugel, she's program director of the Maryland Center on Problem Gambling, and Michael Rosen, recovering gambling addict, a clinical social worker, and the center's network development and helpline coordinator. If you think you might have a gambling problem, you can call that helpline at 1-800-522-4700. We'll have that number on our website, as well as a link to the center's website. That's all at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. And again, the helpline number is 1-800-522-4700. 4700. More of this interview on our website, too. Thanks to WIPR reporter Kenneth Burns for the sound of opening night at the Horseshoe Casino. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, you've heard of the Mason-Dixon line. What about the Deacon's line? Stay with us on 88.1.